For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Let's open it in prayer as we come around the Word of God tonight. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for your wonderful blessing. We thank you for your word. We glorify it in our midst. And Father, we ask that tonight we learn more of your word, more about walking and operating in faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. So tonight we're looking at, are you praying in faith? And this is a follow-on from the one I did a couple of weeks ago called, are you walking in faith, or walking by faith? So let's have a look first of all at Hebrews 11, as I've talked about in previous times, is what a lot of people know as the faith chapter in the Bible, Hebrews 11, and it gives a wonderful definition of faith and also tells us a few things that we really need to know about faith. And so when we're looking at prayer tonight, we have to understand that the prayer must be a prayer of faith, or prayer using our faith, so that it is pleasing to God and it's going to accomplish things in the Lord. There's a lot we could say. We'll go through a few verses tonight. But let's have a look at Hebrews 11, first of all at verse 1. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when we see there the evidence of things not seen, we understand that faith is not a sight-based thing. It is not sight-based, but it is word-based. And it's word-based because we get that hope for whatever we're believing God for, we get that from the Word of God. So how would we hope for healing but that we look into the Word and we see the Word says, I am the Lord that healeth thee, I will take sickness from the midst of thee, he healeth all our diseases. And we look at those scriptures and we have hope that is imprinted on our hearts as we believe that. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. So we're trusting that the Lord, whose word is true, his word is truth, thy word is truth, Jesus said. We know that as we believe that and hold on to that and go forward in that, that we can be operating in faith. And so when we look at praying, we know that our prayers must also be based on the Word of God, and we'll see more about that a bit later. Look at also verse 6, and you know what it says in verse 6 should really be of top priority in Christian churches, because it says something very, very important. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You would expect that in all churches, there would be a great emphasis on faith because people want to please the Lord. You would expect that, wouldn't you? But sadly, there's a great famine of hearing the Word of God. There is a great famine of people believing the Word. And obviously, when you look at the manifestation of what's happened with the churches, even in our society today, we know that there are significant problems with people operating by faith. But the Bible tells us we live by faith, walk by faith, not by sight. And so we have to understand that the Bible is not just saying something that's a fanciful thing. The Bible is saying reality. It says that faith is substance. That's reality. It says it's impossible to please God without faith. So we must have a lot of spiritual knowledge about this area. We can't just put our heads in the sand and say, well, some people have faith and I can never have faith and I could never walk or pray by faith and get results, you know. Now, that's the wrong way to look at it completely. The Bible tells us very clearly, now, the faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we must be word people so that that faith can come for us to operate in. So let's have a look at Mark 11, 24 and 25. And we start to look at this area of prayer or praying in faith. In Mark 11, 24 and 25, there are very important statements made here about the area of praying. 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And verse 25 says, and when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So, looking at verse 24, we see the phrase, what things soever ye desire. And you might think, well, I desire to go and win a great amount of money at the casino. I'm going to pray for that because that's what I desire. Well, your desire is not a godly desire if that's the case. It'd be like, I desire to get a great amount of money through theft, or I desire to kill that person. See, those type of desires are not what we would call godly desires. So how do we get godly desires? Well, obviously, you get godly desires through the Word of God. In fact, the Bible talks about being sanctified through the truth. And that means that our minds are brought in line. We're being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Our minds are brought in line to thinking God's ways, to having spiritual knowledge, to having the right desires in our heart. So you can think that there are certain desires that are quite godly desires. The desire to be healed, the desire to be free from poverty, the desire to get people saved, the desire to do God's will. Many, many things we could point out that would be quite in line with desires. But you've got to get your heart right in terms of, what am I desiring? Am I desiring the things that are in line with God? So that's the first thing we need to get right in our prayers of faith. What things soever ye desire. And so when ye pray, and Jesus said in John 14, for example, and John 15 and 16, he goes into detail about it, where he talks about pray to the Father in his name. So when we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, when ye pray, believe that you receive them. So right at that time, now remember, faith is not sight-based. So you can pray for a thing in line with a godly desire, but then you don't 2 minutes later say, well, I don't think God heard me, and so therefore, you know, it hasn't manifested straight away, so therefore I don't think that my prayers are getting anywhere. No, you must be a person of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. And it's important for us to base our prayers on the Word of God. And we'll look at that in a bit more detail in a minute. So it says, when ye pray, so at the time you pray, believe that you receive them. So there is an exchange happening. There's believing and there is a receiving from God, and it's a spiritual receiving from God, and ye shall have them. So what's that? Is that a future tense or present tense? It's future, isn't it? Ye shall have them. So you're doing the right thing in terms of when you pray. Okay, you've based your prayer on godly desire, and you believe that you receive them. Remember, faith is all about believing, not doubting. And we won't read it, but in verse 23, it talks about not doubting in your heart, but believing. So you believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, the consistent Christian, the persistent Christian, will not be a person who is easily swayed off what they've prayed. Okay, if they've prayed and believed, they've received, and they know that what they've done is in line with God's will, then they're not going to be shifted off of that, and they shall have them. And so you need to get your words in line with what you've prayed. Now, notice that there is a barrier that can be in people's hearts to believing and receiving. And that barrier is in verse 25. And when ye stand praying, and by the way, you can stand praying, you can kneel, you can sit. There's no particular formulaic way of how we should pray in terms of putting our bodies in a particular orientation. But obviously, it's got to be respectful to God. When you stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. What happens if you don't forgive? What happens in your heart? It represents a barrier. It represents a barrier to between you and God. And it represents a barrier to you receiving that which you've prayed and trying to pray in faith. But, you know, you've got this bitterness, this unforgiveness in your heart. How do you get that out? Well, I've said to you in the past that we can't wait for a feeling of forgiveness before we forgive people. We need to forgive people by faith and say, Lord, I don't feel like, but I forgive them by faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And from this time forward, I'm not going to hold it against them. And that's important, because the Bible talks about forgetting the past and pressing on. Okay, so we need to be people that have our hearts clear of that hardness and to be soft to the Word of God. You know, we talked about that godly desire coming in. You need to have your heart soft for those godly words to come into your heart, take root, and you'll be able to then believe that Word and go forward from there. So one of the things about things getting in the way in the heart is that it represents a real blockage. And we can see a few verses. We'll have a look at some verses, for example, in Proverbs 14. Let's have a look in Proverbs 14. We'll look at verse 10 first of all in Proverbs 14. Because if you don't get your heart right before the Lord, you're going to have that barrier to you praying correctly. All right, so, and I believe that, you know, not walking in love, because faith worketh by love, not walking in love is a major barrier to people getting their prayers answered. But of course, God gives a solution. He always does. And he says to forgive. He says to get your heart right with him. You know, make sure that you're not going to be your own enemy, so to speak, in terms of you going forward in your walk of faith. So Proverbs 14 verse 10, it says, the heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. So if your heart knows there's bitterness there, what is a godly person going to do? They're going to get that bitterness out, aren't they? They're not going to say, well, I'll just let it fester for the next 3 years until I feel like forgiving. No, that's not the case at all. You've got to get that. It's spiritual poison. You've got to get that out. Okay? And a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. Well, you're going to need the joy of the Lord in you, and you receive that through the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that he's given us his joy. Okay, he's given us his joy. He wants us to have fullness of joy. The scripture tells us that. So we have to get that bitterness out of our heart so that we can go forward in the Lord. And you look at verse 30 of Proverbs 14, verse 30, it says, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones." Well, you can see here that a sound heart is a real barrier to the... a sound heart is not a barrier, but a sound heart is going to have that flow of God into material things, into, for example, our flesh, our circumstances. But envy is a real barrier, and we could also say unforgiveness and not walking in love and things like that would be real barriers to you getting your prayers answered. And in fact, it has things like envy and bitterness has a real impact on, for example, a person's body there, the rottenness of the bones, the life of the flesh. Clearly, if you want the life, if you want life in your circumstances, you've got to have Christ's word, which are spirit and they are life. His words are spirit and they are life. So I talked a bit about that because one of the things with prayer is having the right heart attitude. Remember, he talked about you have to believe. You have to have the godly desires in there. But you have to have a heart which is able to have the seed of the Word of God going in, and you're able to have your heart soft to receive that. So you can't have hardness and bitterness and so on. Now, we don't want to be people that are hit and miss in our prayers. You know, we want to be people that are consistent in our prayer life. And, you know, it may mean that some people say, well, you know, my prayer life hasn't amounted to much in the past, but I'm going to get it right now with the Lord. I'm not going to be a person who's always not believing or has unforgiveness or envy in my heart or hardness of heart. I want to be a person that has the right desires in my heart, and I want to be a person that is understanding what to do with respect to prayer. So, faith works by love. We talked about that. So we must demonstrate this in our words and our actions, that we love God and we love our neighbour as ourselves. Okay? And when we get those things right, you'll find that your prayers are going to be effective, because it talks about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much in the book of James. Have a look at 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. And we've touched a little bit about not praying godly desires, not praying along the line of God's will. And this touches on this area quite specifically in 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. I want you to notice what it says here. And it's specifically talking about prayer. And it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." And notice there is a confidence that we can have in him, and it's related directly to asking anything, how? According to his will. According to his will. So if I was to ask you, well, what is God's will? You should be able to say, well, you know, his perfect will is shown through the Spirit of the Lord, the Word of God. His perfect will is shown in the Word of God. Okay, so if we're looking to have biblically based prayers, we need to be people of the Word so that we know the will of God. Now, the will of God, as it says there, according to his will, if we ask anything according to his will, so that relates back to what we saw before. What things soever you desire. What things soever you desire. Anything according to his will. Okay? So you have to have a desire in line with what are the things that are according to his will. Now, God wants his people to be prosperous. Okay? So there'll be things you will pray for specifically. For example, a good job, good income, Okay? Obviously, things like a good house, a good property, all these type of things. God knows your needs. And as we come to Him, He can supply those needs. And that's it. That's according to His will. We have to be people that understand what the Word has to say about these things. Now, you can imagine that there's quite a few people who are praying prayers that are not according to God's will. All right? And some people are saying quite silly things. They say, Lord, heal me if it be thy will, or if it's your will, please heal me. Well, you know, you don't want to be praying that type of prayer, because it tells us, it tells the Lord, that you don't know what His will is in this area. But Jesus made it clear. He made it clear that it was the will of God. The Bible is very clear that it's the will of God for healing. So we have to have the will of God in our lives, in our hearts, in our understanding. If we don't, then we're going to be having prayers that are hit and miss. Okay, they're not going to be that effectual, fervent type of prayer that availeth much, because you're praying outside of God's will. So I hope that you can see that what it really must be in a person that is a praying type person is that they have to be a word type person. You know, there's many prayers right across the earth today which are praying, which are a vain repetition, what the Bible calls vain repetition. You know, so a lot of the traditional type churches are a lot of vain type of repetition, and there's no real heart interaction with that. But we know that the Word of God's very clear that we have to have the will of God in top priority in our lives, and understanding that will in our lives, because if we don't, then our prayers, as I said before, are going to be hit and miss. Now, just to emphasize that, we perhaps should look at another scripture. If you have a look at Colossians 1, verse 9 and 10, just keep your finger back in 1 John 5, but go to Colossians 1, 9 and 10, and you'll see how much we need to have the knowledge of God's will in our life. Okay, so if you have the knowledge of His will in your life, your prayers are going to come up to that level where you're, when you ask things, it's going to be according to His will. So Colossians 1, 9 and 10, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be," what's that word? "Filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." So if you're walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, well, that's faith. Okay, increasing in the knowledge of God. Because without faith it's impossible to please Him. But notice what it says in verse 9, "that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." I think there's a great lack amongst many Christians of that very thing, of being filled with the knowledge of God's will, because they just don't know the Bible. Okay, but we need to get into the Bible more and more. Not less and less, as we grow older in Christ, we should be more skilled in the Word, not less skilled in the Word. Do you understand what I'm saying there? So go back to 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. We'll read this out loud again. It should be clicking within you that you may have desires, and you need to check those desires, and have those desires, and then when you're asking anything, as it says in verse 14, "and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, okay, so how do you know that he hears you? Because you've asked according to his will. If you're a person that's doing the right thing, you'll be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Let this really click in you, because if you want to have effective prayer, an effective prayer life, and frankly, we can all come up to a higher level in this, then we must be people that are filled with the knowledge of God's will. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So you can see that this is a real key to having answers to your prayer. A real key. If you look at Proverbs 28, verse 9, go back to Proverbs 28, 9, we see that we can pray amiss, and our prayers can be abomination to the Lord. And we don't want that type of thing. Proverbs 28 and verse 9. Now remember, how do you get filled with the knowledge of God's will? We said it before, didn't we? You need to have a knowledge of the Word of God, because that's where the spiritual knowledge is. Getting that Word into your heart, into your life. So remember, you get your heart right. You make sure that, you know, there's not that bitterness and envy and so on. And you've got to get the Word into your heart. And how does it take root? So you've got that knowledge of God's will. So you can't be a person that says, well, you know, I only open the Bible when I go to church. Or, you know, laugh at it and say, well, you know, the pastor knows about the Bible, but I could never be that good. Well, you're being an enemy to yourself when you say things like that, and you certainly don't want to be like that, because I tell you one thing, Jesus said that we would be justified by our words and we would be condemned by our words. So unless we get our words in line with the Word of God, you're going to come before the judgment seat of Christ and answer for those words that you would have said, and hopefully people here are not going to say that, you would have said outside of the Word of God. So let's get ourselves right. As it says in Proverbs 28 verse 9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, look on the law as the Word of God, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Now that's quite a harsh statement, isn't it? That if you turn away from hearing the law or the Word of God, if you turn away from hearing the Word of God, notice it says turn away from hearing. Now that's connected with faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Okay, so you're not going to get faith coming in, you're not going to understand the knowledge of the will of God, because you're turning your ear away from hearing. You're turning away your ear from hearing the law. That's going to cause your prayer to be an abomination. Now that would be a terrible situation, because you might be spending a whole lot of time in prayer, but it's all vain and abomination, because you're just not listening to the Word of God, and you don't want that type of situation. You're going to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And remember that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. All right, so if I can emphasize this tonight, that prayer and hearing the Word and getting the knowledge of God's will in your life is very, very important. So you don't want to turn your ear away from hearing God's Word. It's important to turn your ear towards hearing God's Word. If you're having problems getting your prayers answered, you need to get more into the Word, not less into the Word. You see what I'm saying? More into seeking the Lord, not less. And you say to the Lord, Lord, I don't know what the problem is here, but please show it to me. Father, please help me. And by the Spirit of truth in my life, please open up things to me, that I may know what your will is, that I may know what your law, what your word is saying. And the Lord will answer that type of prayer that comes from a person who's sincere before him, that's not trying to hide things, not trying to get away with things. They're wanting to do the right thing by the Lord. Have a look at James 1, verses 5 to 8. James 1, 5 to 8. And we see here that faith and praying go hand in hand. We saw that also in Mark 11. But James 1, starting with verse 5, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." So let me ask you a question. If you lack wisdom, do you think it's the will of God for you to have more wisdom? It is, isn't it? So that's something you can pray in line with God's will, isn't it? So really, if any of you lack something that's in line with God's will, you can ask for that. He gives the example of wisdom here. And as it says there, that God giveth to all men liberally, he's not trying to hold back. God wants to give his bountiful goodness to people. Upbraideth not. You know, look, the fact is that God is wanting to get it to people, not trying to take it away from people. And I've talked about we need to get barriers out of the way. We need to be sincere in getting our hearts right before the Lord. Verse 6, and he goes into some problems that people can have in their prayer life. He says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Well, you might say, well, how do I get around this? You know, I have had this problem. You could say, I've had this problem in my life, and I seem to be swaying and doubting, and how do I get around this? Well, you would go to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Verse 2 says that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Well, actually, let's keep your finger in James 1. Just go quickly to Romans 12, verse 2, because it's important for us to see exactly what it's saying in verse 2 there. And it relates directly to our prayers having benefit. Now we're looking at Romans 12 and verse 2. And notice what it says here. It's talking about the will of God in this verse. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Well, haven't we been talking about the will of God? How do you know the will of God? What's talking about here? "That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That means that we should be really emphasizing in our lives to get our minds renewed, to be thinking along the lines of what God wants us to think. Okay, so that we're not easily swayed. We're not easily swayed. Because it says, go back to James 1, verse 6. "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." A wavering person is, and we don't have time to go into it tonight, but someone who doesn't have confidence in the Lord. But we know that Abraham, for example, was fully persuaded of what God had promised. Fully persuaded. How do you get to the stage where you're fully persuaded? Well, it's connected with knowing the will of God. It's connected with having your mind transformed by the renewing of your mind, having your mind renewed. So you don't want to be a waverer. You've got to be a person that's fully persuaded about what you're asking for. But let him ask in faith. Faith is all about believing and trusting God and acting on his word. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And this represents a big barrier, doesn't it? That people who don't have that confidence that we saw in 1 John 5, people that don't have that confidence, they're going to be wavering. They're saying, oh, is healing really of God, or in the will of God for me? Is it really the will of God for me to prosper? Is it really the will of God for that to happen or this to happen? What is it? Well, as I said, we need to be people that seek the Lord and make sure that our minds are being renewed so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, and be filled with the knowledge of his will. You know, if we pray in faith, as it says there, let him ask in faith, then we're going to be people that are going to have things that will be accomplished in our life, including in our prayer life. Our prayer life is going to be it's going to be successful. It's not going to be something that we're not accomplishing anything. You know, you hear people talk about, oh, my prayers hit the ceiling, didn't get any further than that, almost half joking about things. Look, it comes down to getting your heart right with the Lord, being serious about the Lord, and understanding what we've been looking at tonight. Are you praying in faith? So I've gone through quite a few things. I've also gone through some of the barriers that some people can have. And I pray that all of us will be people that are honest with ourselves and God. And if there are things that we need to get right with him, that we are willing to repent and to receive from God his solution to things. So praise the Lord. Let's pray. Let's close in prayer. I'm going to pray and ask that in everyone who is here, that there would be in your life a success in prayer, that your prayer life will be a successful prayer life. Heavenly Father, I ask that every person here, every one of us, Lord, has a successful prayer life in you. That we're not people that are despondent and nothing happens, but that, Lord, you show us and reveal to us exactly how to have that successful prayer life in you. And Lord, we praise you and thank you, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given to us of being able to walk by faith and to pray in faith, Lord. And Father, I ask that if there be any areas that need to be corrected in people's lives, that you show us specifically what needs to be done. And Lord, we will be willing and we are willing to correct that if necessary, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.